Good morning. I invite you to stand for worship if you're able.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King of all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in all in wonder, the King of
Thank you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house to worship you this morning. We just pray that our tithes and our offerings would lift you higher. We just pray that our lives would do so as well. Just pray for LMC. Just pray that this money would bless them as they bless others. We pray this in your name. Amen.
We reign on high, every mountain stream.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your leading in our lives. We just pray that we would be open and obedient to your leading. God, I just lift Jake now as he comes to give the message this morning. Just give him the words that you would have him say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Again, I'd like to welcome each one of you to our worship service today, and it's an honor and a privilege for me to introduce to you Jake Wise, who's serving as a chaplain for Transport for Christ. Jake began serving as a chaplain about the same time that I stepped into the role as lead pastor here at Bowmansville, so him and I get together occasionally for breakfast and share what's happening in our lives. So in case you don't know who Jake is the son of Alvin and Anna Mae Wise. He's been here a number of times. I'm assuming most of you know who he is. So I'd like to have a word of prayer for you, Jake, and then turn it over to you. Father God, we indeed thank you for the way you work in our lives, the way you lead and guide us. Thank you for calling Jake to serve you as a chaplain for Transport for Christ. Thank you for his ministry there, and I ask you to continue to bless him as he serves you in that way. And now I just ask that you would anoint him with a fresh anointing of your spirit today, that he would be able to speak boldly the message you've given to him for us to hear today. May we not only hear it with our ears, but may we hear it also with our hearts and be changed and transformed by you today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Larry. I guess I got my thing turned on. Everybody can hear me? Yeah, it sounds that way. I guess about 5 months ago, a lot of people came here expecting to see me, and I didn't show up. The reason was I had a concussion. Now, the first few concussions I had, I was back to work within 1 to 2 days. This one here, I just assumed that in a few days I'll be okay. After a while, I thought in a week I'll be okay, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and it kept going, and it didn't want to clear up, and I finally had to call Larry and say, I can't do it. This concussion, they said, was one too many. It took 6 months, and I finally went back to work this week on a half-day basis. So I've finally been released again, but anyway, that's a little bit of why I did not show up here. I probably would have sounded like a bubbling fool or something, because one of the first things that affected me was my speech and vision. There would have been twice as many people here. So anyway, I might get into more details later, but first I want to try to cover what I want to say this morning. Now I got to find my, there we go. I'm going to start in Psalms 32 is where I'm going to start out today. And my goal is, this morning's title is God Has Open Arms to Welcome Us Back. That's from, even after we accept Christ, there's times where we can slip away and drift away, and God always has open arms to welcome us back. And I believe as Christians in a church, we should have open out arms reaching out to those. And I think sometimes our arms close and are not always open, even though God's are always open. So I want to, hopefully that's what I can portray to you today, is how we should be like God. Starting in chapter 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. Selah. Okay, we just look back to the beginning about transgressions and sin and iniquity. Them are all the wrongs that we do, and God forgives us when we turn to him. In verse 3, it says they're about the groaning all day long. That's how our life can be if God is convicting us and we're not obeying. If we feel the Holy Spirit convicting us to do something and we are disobeying, we have the groaning. And basically, when you get in a situation like that, it can keep messing that with you. It's almost, I like to compare it to a cancer on, a rust on a car. It just continues to go and go. If you look at my car out in the parking lot, it's getting carried away. Because basically, you don't do anything. I mean, to fix it right takes a lot of money, and I ain't got that kind of money, and the car ain't worth it. But anyway, it's rusting pretty bad. And it's not going to stop. It's going to continue and continue and eat away that car till it is junk. If we let the Holy Spirit convict us and we do nothing and let it go on and on, it is eating away at our insides and it will destroy us. And I think there's a lot of Rolaids sold that wouldn't need to be sold if people would change their life sometimes. To give you a little bit of an example, well, first of all, I'd like to ask the question, which I'm going to do a couple of times this morning. How many people believe the Holy Spirit can convict people and change people? Raise your hand. Exactly what I wanted to see. Almost every hand goes up. How many people here believe they can do a better job than the Holy Spirit? Hopefully nobody. Why do we try? I'll give you an example. I know of a young man that probably about the age of 16, 17 or somewhere in that neighborhood started smoking because that made him one of the tough guys, one of the cool guys, whatever. You know how it is when you're young and dumb. Probably somewhere around his 27, 28, in that ballpark, maybe even 30, the church where he was asked him to be the youth advisor. Him and his wife became youth advisors. The Holy Spirit started working on that guy because he realized being a youth advisor, the youth are going to look up to him as an example. How can he continue to smoke while the youth are looking at him as an example? He is being a bad example. That gave him the power to quit smoking. Now, before that, there was a couple of times where he might have quit for a day or two, but it never lasted because he was doing it on his own power. When the Holy Spirit convicted him and gave him the power to do it, that's when it worked. People might have nagged him through the years about quitting. It meant zero. But when God convicted him, it changed him. So the one thing I like to say to you youth that are sitting here, when you face decisions in your life, don't be afraid to ask us older people, because we've been around a while. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Hey, I don't work for Farmers Insurance, but anyway. I want to continue reading there, starting now at verse 9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. Else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. I think they're saying that we should be thankful for our salvation, thankful for God, what he does. But I also see a little danger there. It says to you, righteous. How many people have we encountered through life that look at themselves as self-righteous? The better in you, the goody two-shoes, whatever you want to call them, frozen chosens. There's different types. but people that think they're living their life better than others and looking down on them. And I kind of call them the gatekeeper, or they want to be the gatekeeper of being very careful who they let in and who they don't leave in. The next set of verses go into a little bit more detail on that. If you turn to Luke 15, I'm going to read from Luke 15, 1 through 7 to start. This is where Christ is talking to Pharisees and scribes, and the Pharisees and scribes were something that was around back in when the Bible was written in that time frame. But I think today we still have what I call the modern day scribes and Pharisees that are trying to get you to do certain things before you can be a Christian, or you have to do these certain things, and they don't give this Holy Spirit a chance to work. Starting at 15, verse 1, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. What man of you have 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls it together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That verse there is what I really want to dwell on, and I'm going to read it over just to make sure it sinks in and dwell on it. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And I think that should really make us think. Christ was willing to leave the 99 sheep and go over after one lost sheep. That meant a whole lot more to him than the 99 that were in the fold. And I'd like to try to get a visual picture. I'm not sure if this is the way it was, but just to get the point across, try to picture it as a fence around with 99 sheep in. That's to save people. Christ is out looking for a lost sheep to bring in. How many of us are standing there at the gate and want to be the gatekeeper to decide whether that lost sheep should be allowed in or not? I got some stories to try to illustrate a little bit better. And I'm not sure. I know I used some of these stories before in a sermon, but I think it was at a different church. But I decided most of these are my age or older. So if I did use them here, you forgot. So I can tell them again. The sad thing is, these are true stories. I had a friend that moved up to northern Pennsylvania to work in a camp for delinquent boys, kind of like a rehab place. And there was a Mennonite church in the neighborhood where he started going, ended up becoming a pastor there. And somebody told him, you're going to have a hard time getting people to come to your church because the Mennonites have a bad name in this neighborhood. And went on to tell him why. This church started up there to be an outreach church. They had renewal meetings, or I guess back at that time it was called revivals. There's three girls, I think it was three, it might have been four, I forget the numbers exactly, I don't remember all the details, but they accepted Christ and were going to be baptized and join the church. The baptism service was Sunday. Saturday, a bishop from this area went up to be involved in this, and he let them know that they have to have black stockings to be baptized. This is years ago. It was either black nylons or black stockings, I forget which. Anyhow, these girls went out to store after store after store and could not find any because there was no Weaver store or goods store. People up there didn't sell stuff like that. It was not a Mennonite neighborhood. Them girls were not baptized because they couldn't find stockings. Stuff like that breaks my heart. Another one. There was a young girl, this was in Lancaster County, never went to church, started dating a boy that went to church. She started going along to the church and decided to accept Christ, and she was going to be baptized. The minister's wife called her and said if she doesn't have anything suitable to wear for the baptism service, she would take her to a store and help her find something. She was never back at that church again. If we believe that the Holy Spirit convicts people and changes people, why do we want them to change before the Holy Spirit even enters their life? Well, I shouldn't say it that way. The Holy Spirit has convicted them. But let's give them time. Let's bring them in and let them change. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. We're not supposed to try to do the work. I got a couple more stories. There was three people in a church that were their membership was removed because of sin in their life, which what was going on, I felt it was the right thing to do. It was a church where I was going at the time. I felt they did the right thing concerning the circumstances. Two of them came back, confessed their sins, and their membership was reinstated just like that, no problem. The third one come back and confessed her sin, and they said, well, we'll have to put you like a probation period. You have to prove yourself first. You know, to me, when I found out about that, I was so mad. I felt she should have been treated just like the other two, even though she might have had a few screws loose, but I think I have a few loose. Another one. There was a minister I knew. I don't know if this is Lebanon County or Berks County, but it's not that far away. These are things, true stories that actually happened in our area, and most of these were in my lifetime. This guy was a minister in a church and got caught in adultery. He was removed from, he was removed from whatever you call it, his duties. His membership was removed, which was the right thing to do. The man goes back to the church and confesses his sin and wants to be reinstated as a member. And he didn't word it right, so they wouldn't accept it. After the third try, they finally accepted it and put him back in as a member. But he says, every Sunday I went to church and I'd shake people's hands. He said, I could tell which ones forgave me and which ones did not. We can do a lot of damage without even opening our mouth. Just our attitude, our body language. He said, every Sunday, I could feel the ice and the cold shoulder treatment. Even if they shook my hand, he said, there was no forgiveness whatsoever in their bones. And I'm sure some of you have experienced things like that already. I know one of the things I do with TFC is go over to Stoltz Food Truck Brokerage Friday nights, hang out over there, talk to drivers. Most of the office staff welcomes me. I get treated great. Guys on the dock that load trucks, truck drivers, most of them treat me great. It's a wonderful place to be. I can name like two or three drivers that are not Christians that kind of avoid me and give me the cold shoulder treatment. It's very obvious. I think they're afraid I'm going to beat them over the head with a Bible or something. So they try to keep their distance, and others are always welcome me. But you can sense when you're getting the cold shoulder treatment. Without saying a word, you can do that to others. Those are true. Anyway, eventually that guy ended up running off with another woman, left his wife. And as far as I know, to this day, he's still living with the other woman. The one thing that I really question, if them people would not have given him the cold shoulder treatment and forgave him like God forgives us, would have he ended up leaving his wife, or would he still be in church today? are them people that gave him the cold shoulder treatment held accountable for their actions? I believe someday they will. I think if we profess to be a Christian and we have the joy in us, we need to, that's for every single person. My opinion, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Christ died for me just the same as the worst sinner for everybody. That invitation is for everyone, not certain ones. If you don't look right, if you don't dress right, if you don't, or whatever. Maybe you have too many tattoos, I don't know. There's all kinds of excuses. But those are the what I call illustrations or stories of people that want to be the gatekeeper and be careful who they let in. And that, to me, is not having the open arms that God has. Also wanted to read a little bit on the down further. If we go to too many papers, I should write all my notes on one page. I know it's on the prodigal son. Okay, let's go to verse 19. That's still in chapter 15 in Luke. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. There again, that's an example of how heaven rejoices over one lost sheep. And how the father ran with compassion. And if you do studies on this, you can see at that time, man did not run. They wore robes. It would have been an embarrassment for a man to run. It was not culturally acceptable. So what he did was like going the extra mile. But I believe when he seen his son coming to him, he forgave him instantly. Before his son even opened his mouth, he forgave him. And yet, we sometimes want to judge others and think we're better than them. I'll give you another illustration. How many of you here, looking at me standing here, can see sin in my life? If you think you can see sin in my life, raise your hand. Just what I expected. We overlook what we think are minor, insignificant sin. I'll step out here. Now, can you see sin in my life? Isn't there something in the Bible that talks about overeating, gluttony? If you just couldn't see sin in my life, there's a couple different choices. Number one, you fell asleep. Number two, you're blind. Number three, you're just trying to be nice. But I think we categorize sin. And overeating is one that so many of us have that problem, we don't even think about it. I've been trying to change my ways, but I waited too many years to change. It grew and grew and grew. It's something I do struggle with. But to me, that is a sin. The Bible says it is. And there's other little ones like that that we might be guilty of, but it's not an obvious one. And to most of us here would say, going out and getting drunk is a whole lot worse than overeating. We want to label things. To God, sin is sin. We are the ones that want to be like the scribes and Pharisees. And we want to say, this is acceptable, but this is not. And then we might add on to things to make it even harder for a person to come. I just believe that God opened his arms for everyone. And that means everyone. And that's what we need to be doing. And I will say this much, too. I get together with Larry about once a month for breakfast. He tells me a lot of things that are going on here. And I think Bonesville Church has really changed over the last 30, 40 years, whatever it is, since I grew up in this church and still come back once in a while. But I think you are doing a great job at reaching out to those that are not saved. I see a lot of good things going on, hear a lot of good reports, and I think that's what a church is supposed to be today. We are here just to, not only just to fellowship, but we should be reaching out to those outside. Christ left 99 in the fold to go after one. What are you doing to bring others in? It's for everyone, not just some. So, maybe it's enough on that. As far as some of the things I do with TFC, there's a few different trucking companies I go to and just hang out there as a chaplain talking to drivers. I know the one place I go, this one guy, he's been through a lot in the last few years. His dad passed away, and there's actually, this is what you call, I guess, own church people, because at the funeral, his sister and sister-in-law got in a fight. How many ever heard of that at a funeral? I never did. But he's always has problems, and he always talks about he believes in the man up above. You often hear that. People believe in the man up above. They do not have the personal relationship that Christ has. And he often flies off with foul language and apologizes for it. And I always say the same thing. You don't need to apologize to me. I'm not the one that cares. Apologize to God. But that's the one trucking company I go to. And like I said, I spend a fair amount of time over at Stolzfus. On a Friday, they probably load about 80 trucks in a Friday afternoon and evening. Well, it goes on all night, basically. There's a lot of guys sitting around there. I got involved with a lot of different situations. One driver had a daughter that was on drugs. He's really bothered by that. Sat in his truck and prayed with him. There's another where his dad had passed away that week, and he was loading to go to Denver, Colorado to be home in time for the funeral and stuff. But it was hard on him leaving when his dad just passed away that day. But he was committed to the run. He couldn't leave him hanging with the load, so he took it. Too many notes. There's another one where his wife had left him. He was dealing with a rough time. I talked to him every time I see him over there, prayed with him, helped him work through some of that problem. Driver with cancer, I prayed with him, and he is a Christian. He has taken it very well. He had cancer, went through treatment, was in remission, and 2 years later it came back. And I know too many stories where they say if it comes back within 4 to 5 years, there's little chance of surviving. He's about the same age I am, but he's accepting it as God's will, knowing his life might be short. But he's a great testimony to me to see how he's dealing with facing death. Also, they have the Make-A-Wish Parade in Lancaster on Mother's Day. Another guy brings a chapel in there. I do two services in there for drivers. I go to truck driving school, present TFC's program there. So that's some of the things I do. As far as my health issues, the last few years have been through quite a lot. I had Lyme's disease, very bad. I don't know how many people knew about that. I think it'd be July, it will be 2 years ago when I started the herbal treatment for Lyme's. Has made a huge difference in my life. Before that, I actually sat in a chair wondering how much worse a person has to get before they die, because I didn't know when you can't eat anymore. If I ate a piece of toast, I felt like I came out of Shady Maple and just stuffed from a piece of toast. my stomach had shut down, wasn't working right anymore. But when I started the herbal treatment, everything started getting better. I remember it was the beginning of July where we had a family cookout that I went to because I was feeling pretty good that day. And got a lot of phone calls the next week because they didn't realize I was that bad. And I thought I was doing good that day. But anyway, I've been through this herbal treatment for Lyme's and doing very well. I'm just about through that. There's very little trace of Lyme's left in me. The way he explained it to me is the first time I did an antibiotic treatment, that kills it, but it's still in your body. If it flares up again, the second time's worse than the first time. And this time I decided to do this herbal treatment. He says that actually doesn't kill it. It flushes it out of your system. That when I'm done with the Lyme's treatment, it'll be completely gone. And then as far as the concussion, like I said, that has improved greatly. I remember a few months after the concussion, I went back to the doctor, and I was feeling pretty good. I thought, I'm going to try to twist his arm and they let me come back to work. And we walked in there. The first thing he did, he comes in and says, hold your head still and follow my finger with your eyes. And he does this. And I felt my head go a little fuzzy. Didn't think it was that bad. I can work through this. And then he says, did that cause any symptoms to flare up? And I wanted to say just a little bit. And it came out, he says, well, obviously the answer to that question is yes. We left there. I told my wife, next time we go in there and he does that, I'm going to, when he asks if any symptoms flare, caused any symptoms to flare up, I'm going to go. But he had other tests that I didn't pass anyway, so it went a few more months till I finally was at the doctor this week and was able to get cleared with all these tests. And I'm back to hauling milk again part-time, and it's a little bit step-by-step. I'm allowed to do 3 days a week, half days only. And if it goes good for 2 weeks, we'll step it up to 5 days, half days, and it's going to be a process. I guess the reason they said this concussion got so out of hand, it was my third one in a year's time. And they say your head doesn't take that many beatings if it's one too many. So that's why I am where I am. And hopefully you've got a little something out of this message about opening our arms to the lost, just like God has opened the arms for us. And when we go astray, God is standing there with open arms. So at this time, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your word that we can present and read and learn to grow. Thank you for your gracious and loving and open arms to receive us back when we go astray. And also thank you for inviting us in and forgiving our sins. Help us to forgive others the same as you have forgiven us. And thank you again for your never-ending, never-failing love. And be with us through the rest of this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before I So I just have a quick announcement in your bulletin. The youth group is hosting a golfing fundraiser at Springside Chip and Putt. The money will be raised to go towards our service project in Gatlinburg, Tennessee this year. The date for this event is Saturday, April 27th. Registration starts at 8:30. We'd like to tee off at 9 a.m. And there's a deadline for that. It's not written in the bulletin. But we'd like people to sign up by April 20th so we can know how much food to get, because with this event, it would cost $25 a person. That's to play your round, and also there will be a lunch afterwards. And to play, we're looking at getting a team of four to sign up together. If you don't have four people that would like to play on a team together, no worries. We can also combine you with other people as well. So any and all skill levels are accepted and welcomed for this event. And to contact me, my number there is 717-682-7810 to sign up. And I also have some flyers in my hand here, so you can come and see me after church. Let me know about this. And just to give an explanation about the team of four, we're going to do it in what's called a scramble format, so that all four people tee off from the same spot, and then you guys take your best shot out of the four people who have hit to make it easier to try and get your hole, to get your ball in the hole. Hopefully one out of the four people will be able to hit it on the green on the first try. So then you take your best shot, and then everybody hits from that same spot and so forth until you make it into your hole. So, you can talk to me after church, text me, call me, whatever. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Shane, for that announcement, and I'm glad you clarified that all skill levels are accepted. And thank you, Jake, for coming and sharing this morning. May God bless you as you continue to serve him as a chaplain for Transport for Christ. Thank you for sharing the message here today. I also want to make an announcement that this is the last Sunday, so the children can come up and guess how many coins have been collected for My Coins Count through this month. So you're welcome to do that after the service. I'd also like to call your attention to some flyers that are laying in the entranceways regarding situations taking place at Garden Spot High School, the Elanco School District. Pick up that flyer and please be praying, because there's a meeting coming up tomorrow evening regarding the transgender issue at Garden Spot High School. So at the very least, pick up a flyer, be informed, and be in prayer, because we are living in unprecedented times, and we've only seen the tip of the iceberg as to what's ahead in our world in which we live. So I don't say that to alarm you. I say that to alert you to be in prayer, down on your knees in prayer, because the situations that the church will face, is facing, and will face in the future is unprecedented. We've never been living in times like this. It's exciting times because it tells me that we're getting closer and closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. So pick up a flyer, be informed, and be in prayer. So would you stand to receive this parting blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace.